It was not even 2 years ago that it looked like President Barack Obama might be changing the political map. He won states that Democrats had not won in many years. Democrats running for Congress won many seats where their party had not been competitive in the past. Now, another election season has arrived, and we're going to check in on two states the president won in 2008. We'll start in Colorado, where Curtis Hubbard is political editor of the Denver Post. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me this morning.
How, if at all, does the mood feel different in Colorado than in 2008?
Well, it's about 180 degrees different. You know, we all were in Invesco Field at Mile High for President Obama's accepting the Democratic nomination. And Colorado was truly a blue state after being purple for a couple of election cycles. And now we find a U.S. Senate race that's a pure toss-up. Republicans looking at one, if not two, if not three seats in Congress that they can take back. So it's quite a bit different.
And what has caused that?
I think the economy has caused it, and people looking at Washington and questioning whether or not Washington has truly been able to address the economic issues that the country faces.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that, but let's bring another voice into the conversation here. And that second voice is Brian Howie. He's a political analyst and editor of Howie Politics Indiana. Welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me.
I'm wondering if you might call Indiana the most surprising state that President Obama won in 2008.
Yeah, I think you could because, you know, we had not voted for a Democrat for president since 1964 in the LBJ landslide. And he pulled out a very, very narrow victory, but it was stunning nonetheless.
Well, did that turn out to be lasting, that support for President Obama in a conservative state, Indiana?
No. He's in big trouble here. As far as the three congressional seats that we see in play, is actually 2006 when Barron Hill, Brad Ellsworth and Joe Donnelly came in, you know, with considerable dissatisfaction over the Iraq War.
Oh, these are three Democrats who won seats in Indiana. Okay.
Yes, and they are now all under the gun and are running scared right now.
Well, gentlemen, let's talk about what seems to be at stake in each of these states. President Obama, of course, is not on the ballot, but to what extent does it seem that the Senate and congressional elections and other elections, even in your states, seem to be revolving around him?
Well, here in Colorado, Michael Bennett, who's running for the U.S. Senate as a Democrat against Republican Ken Buck, Obama was front and center during his primary campaign. And the question now is just how prevalent will the White House's role be as Bennett now finds himself in the general election?
Here in Indiana, Obama has actually had some policy victories. We have 140,000 workers tied to the big three auto industry, and certainly the General Motors and Chrysler expedited bankruptcies saved a lot of jobs. And he's also been showering a lot of stimulus money on what is an emerging electric car sector. So it hasn't been all doom and gloom. But the problem Obama has here in Indiana is they have not sold the health care reforms. They are vastly unpopular here.
Curtis Hubbard, how have some of the signature policies of the Obama administration played in Colorado?
It's hit or miss. We've seen quite a big benefit from the stimulus in terms of funding for renewable energy and green technologies, and the administration has certainly tried to play that up. But our unemployment rate here is not as high as the national average. The most recent report, we were at 8.1%. It's certainly not as bad here economically as it is in other parts, but I think people are looking for improvement.
How is the Tea Party movement affecting the races in your two states?
Well, we saw it in Colorado, both in the U.S. Senate race on the Republican side and in the governor's primary race on the Republican side. I think that Ken Buck, who is the Republican nominee for U.S. Senate, has tried to establish himself more as a grassroots candidate and to say it's not just Tea Party groups that led to my election, but grassroots groups around the state. But what we're looking at is how his message changes or whether his message changes moving forward. A lot of the rhetoric and a lot of the stump speeches he made during the primary, Senator Bennett has already used against him in their general election. Senator
like what?
Bennett, like his opposition to abortion, except in the case when the mother's life is in danger, statements about when the U.S. should get out of Afghanistan, and they go on. The battle here is going to be for suburban voters, and Senator Bennett demonstrated in the primary that he could appeal to them. Ken Buck, who faced former Lieutenant Governor Jane Norton in our primary, did not do as well. And so that's the thing that we're going to be looking very closely at. You know, how does Buck change his message to appeal to that broader audience as opposed to the Tea Party audience moving forward.
Is the Tea Party affecting races as well in Indiana?
Yes, but it's more of an influencing factor. We had a Tea Party candidate who ran for the Republican U.S. Senate nomination in the 8th Congressional District. We had a Tea Party candidate who came razor close to getting the nomination. But what I've seen with the Tea Party is they're certainly pulling the Republican establishment, I think, further to the right.
Unelectably to the right?
I can't say that. If I had to make a bet, I'd say the Republicans are probably going to capture two of the three congressional seats in play, and certainly the Senate seat that Evan Bayh is giving up is very much in danger. It looks like Dan Coats is, you know, a very heavy favorite at this point.
Brian Howie of Howie Politics Indiana, thanks very much.
Well, thank you for having me.
We were also joined by Curtis Hubbard, political editor of the Denver Post. Thanks to you.
You're welcome.